Praise God. Young brothers and sisters, how y'all doing? Y'all mad excited. Y'all might have to tie me down tonight. Listen, how many people here got mad problems? Look, can I get some arms over here? Well, listen, this message tonight, this word is directed straight to you. Okay? So I want you to listen closely. You heard this new word? I heard somebody going, "You already." That's new to me. I got mad gray hair. Listen, yesterday, I was sitting with this young man. I used to live in the projects in the Bronx for about 25 years. And I seen a young man who still lives in the area. And I bumped into him. And so one thing led to another, and we had breakfast. So while we were eating breakfast, we started talking about that project where I came from. And the project, we used to call it the Bucktown. And we called the Bucktown Buck, because it was a lot of shootings. But back then, it was a lot of shootings, and the bodies didn't add up with the bullets. It was just a lot of shooting. So he told me, he said that now it's so crazy over there, they don't call it the Bucktown anymore. The place where we were at, it was called Cortland Avenue. But he said now they call it Coffin Avenue. And it's because of all the deaths. And I'm going to tell you, when he said that, my heart just seemed like it just dropped. Because while we were sitting there, I saw two young men. And I just want to mimic their conversation real quick. One of them said, he said, "Yo, what's up, Five?" The other one said, he said, "You already." He said, "The gates is open. And whoever want it, they can get it." And again, my heart just dropped. Because when he said the gates is open, I heard the devil say, with all pride, "The gates is open." But he was talking about the gates of hell. And right after that, I heard another voice, and I love this voice. Pastor Patrick's talking about that little small voice. Holy Spirit began to say, "But the gates of hell shall not prevail." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that during the end times, that wickedness and evil, it will increase rampantly. And some of us are seeing this. We're looking around us. There's violence like crazy. People are angry. We're watching homosexuality just seem like it's just exploding. Lesbianism, drug addiction. And it's like everything is just like it's all right. It's all cool. And, you know, even in reading the Bible, you see that many of these things are just clearly forbidden. Clearly forbidden. Violence is increasing. People are full of anger. And I mean rage and anger. How many people last Saturday, how many people just by show of hands was able to come out to Finley Avenue, the outreach? Cool. I want to talk a little bit about what began to happen at the outreach. We had an awesome time there. God showed up, and I love God, because when he show up, he do his thing, and he do exceeding above, abundantly above all we can ask or think. But this particular Finley Avenue outreach, it just wasn't the same. And I told my wife prior to, I said, "Baby," I said, "I don't know what it is, but I feel like this outreach here is going to be the most strategic one that we've had thus far." And I didn't know how, but I really sensed that. And so we came out, and, you know, people immediately just started getting busy. And I sensed that the Holy Ghost said, "Stop, get everybody back over here, and let's pray." And we began to pray, and everybody dispersed into doing what they do. All of a sudden, on the block at about 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, There was nobody on that block that lived there. The only people that was on that block was me and Vicky and the whole Times Square church. It was hundreds of us. Well, I won't say hundreds, but it was plenty of us out there. But two gentlemen showed up, and quietly, they began arguing with each other, disputing back and forth over something. And of course, it had to do with money, and it was a very small amount. I would have gave it to them. No, I'm telling you the truth, to prevent what was meant to happen. So all of a sudden, they're arguing. The arguing and the anger turned into rage. And a young man, just about any one of your ages in here, can't be no more than 20 years old, pulled out a knife. And when he pulled out this knife, it was some rusty looking funny knife that looked like it had some work done with it. It didn't look like it was no new knife. The blade was like black and rusty and man. But anyway, he pulls this knife out and he's chasing this gentleman who has a wife and grown children just like me. He's chasing them around Finley Avenue. There's nothing there. There's nothing in the streets. There's nobody there. And he's swinging at this dude. But he's swinging like I never seen a man swing before. And also at that outreach, I had some friends that was there. And a lot of these friends, they did a couple of bids. And so they've seen men get shanked in jail. But even they said, I never saw a man swing a knife like that. This young man was so angry. It's almost as if he was foaming at the mouth. And some of you that were there that were able to see it, you'll see it. It was white. He was angry and he was enraged and nothing would stop him. And with all the Times Square church people that was there that were just eyewitnesses, nothing could stop this man, this young man. And so he's swinging and he's just missing this dude. And the dude is weaving and going back and forth, and somebody stepped in between him. And when he stepped in between him, he swung that knife so hard, but he missed the guy that was in front of him, and he missed the guy that was in back. But he got so close to the guy that was in the middle that he thought that he was stabbed. When he hit him, boom, his hand hit his ribs, and it hit it hard. You can hear it was like, boom, and everybody kind of froze because he thought he got poked. And even he did. He was like, he was looking. But let me tell you, the knife went through his shirt, didn't touch none of his skin. It went through his shirt. And while this whole thing was going on, you know, I was there, a couple of other brothers that was there. We were trying to maintain and, you know, keep the crowd, and his family came out and we were trying to get them inside and, you know, stop the guy with the knife and this guy with the chain. But what began to happen is God began to open up the scripture to me. He began to show me right there on the spot. He said, Derek, and probably many other, but he says, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And what, as I was telling Pastor Patrick, is it's almost as if I had a bird's eye view of what was going on, what was taking place. Because see, what was taking place was just, it was a fight and an argument between two men. But it was so much more at stake than that. So much more. You see, one of the things that would have happened, if there was any bloodshed, the first thing that would have happened, there would have never been another Finley Avenue outreach. But secondly, what would have happened, it would have left a bad taste on the block. This Jesus. You know what would have happened to Finley Avenue? What would have been remembered was the body, the stabbing. The enemy was trying to destroy what Christ had established. He was trying to destroy the testimony of Christ. And one of the things that I saw that really began to shake me was that he was out to destroy you. You. Those that was there. The body. What I began to see is I saw people who, when we were working prior to that, we were one unit, one body. And that's what the Bible says, that by our love for one another, that they would know that we are Christ's disciples. And before we even set off a song, before we served a hot dog or a hamburger, the people knew that Jesus was there. They knew that. But what I began to see as that event took place was I began to see that body now break up and become individuals, but now frozen individuals that briefly was captivated by fear. Now, I didn't see this in my own eyes. I believe that the Holy Ghost was just showing me that because the enemy had come to steal that. See, because I'm going to tell you, if we would have operated after that and just let it go, and we just operated in the spirit of fear, you know what would have happened? It would have just been a show. It would have just been Finley Avenue Outreach, the show that they did on Finley Avenue. But God began to speak to me, and he said, Derek, he said, just get the people back together and point them to me. And we did that. We came together, began to share why we were there, and that this is a real war that we're fighting. This is a real devil that we are up against. And what I began to see unfold is as if the Holy Ghost had put everybody's helmet back on. And it was like, bam. And we dispersed back into work. And what I began to see is the Holy Ghost began to just move upon, like the Bible says, he moved upon the face of the deep. I began to see the Holy Ghost just move upon the face of that block. And it was like the Spirit of God just came down and rested, and everything was just so easy. It was just peaceful. Yeah, stuff was going on, and we needed this and we needed that, but it was just a peace. It was just like, no problem, no problem. We seen people getting ministered to. But the message what I want to share with you tonight is that the enemy is after your faith. The devil who comes only, the Bible says that his purpose, that's his purpose, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Tonight, before we leave, I want to pray. My prayer request for you and for me is that we, God would give us the ability and the strength to be able to stand in the midst of the onslaught of the devil. Right in the midst of it, just to be able to stand. See, I can relate to many of you tonight. You got problems from this way, problems from that way. You turn around, you think that's over, and then bam, this one. And then it's the family members, and then it's this, and then it's the job, and then it's school. And it's just so many things. And if we're not careful, what we want to do is retreat. We want to try to find a little corner to just hide it. I'm not going to renounce Christ, but I don't want the fight no more. I don't want the war. I don't want the battle anymore. And tonight, I believe that God wants us to know and to understand that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God has equipped everybody in this house, everybody by the sound of my voice who is called by his name. He has equipped you with everything you need for the battle. And not just to fight, but to come out victorious. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. And I'm saying this because the enemy, the Bible says that the wickedness is increasing rampantly. Don't think it's going to stop where it's at right now. Men are going to become more and more wicked, going to be devising more and more wicked devices. And we're going to be the one that's standing up against that. You know what I really believe? That when we as the body began to come together as one, the Bible says when it was unity, God commanded the blessing. And I believe, just like I spoke earlier, that when we begin to, they see the love that we have for one another, they'll know that we're his disciples. We don't even got to open up our mouth. It becomes easy then. But I believe that it's when we get to that place that we're now unifying one with another. When now I'm not looking at my brother and he's struggling, I'm going, oh, word, all right, he on his own. Nah, but now I see my brothers and my sisters, and I begin to thunder for them. The Bible says that we don't fight no more with our hands. We don't pick up sticks and bats and knives no more. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God will give us the ability to be able to get on our knees, but to pull down strongholds. Pull them down. They got to go. We just heard that song. The song says to tell that mountain to move away. And I believe that God wants to quicken each of us tonight to begin to look at that mountain of fear, that mountain of unbelief, whatever that thing is that's keeping you back from fully serving God, from fully giving your life over, just saying, I surrender, Lord. Tell that mountain to move away. You got to get up out of here. Man, you're making this easy. Cool. Well, I'm going to tell you how easy this is. See, I'm looking in your eyes, and I believe that what's coming out of my mouth, that God is speaking right into some hearts. Because you've been there. You know that you're there. You know this is me. I'm the one that feel like I'm just trying to find me a little corner to just tuck into because I'm tired of the war. And he's talking to you being the one who feels like and knows that if you fully surrender your life to God, that he's going to turn your world upside down. And you know it. There's a fear. There's an intrepidation. But God is saying, come. He's saying, come. There are some people that are sitting in here tonight. You don't fully understand this Christian thing. You really don't. But you've seen some men and women. You've seen some real transformations in some lives. And you really want that thing. You know there's this call, there's this draw inside of you that's saying, walk this way. Walk this way. But it's still that intrepidation. You know, earlier we was talking, somebody mentioned something, and they talked about your friends. I don't know if that was Raphael while he was worshiping. It could have been me with somebody else earlier, but sometimes we let our friends hold us back. And I say that with all due respect. You know, we have a love for our friends, and there's this camaraderie, and then there's this loyalty to one another. But sometimes we take that a little too far. I had to do that. Last time I made a mistake, I had this thing on, and I burped. My kids never let me hear the end of that. So I ain't having that no more. Praise God. I'm glad y'all can laugh. After I was laughing for a little while, then I was like, come on, you're killing me. No, bless God. But I'm serious. Sometimes we take this friendship a little too far, and we allow the friendship with one another to get in the way of our friendship with our Heavenly Father, who only has our best interests at heart. And I'm going to tell you something, young people. If you really want to be a good friend, if your friendship really means a lot to you and you cherish your friendship and you cherish your friend, give your life to God. Surrender your life to God and let God use you, because you will be that a perfect example that they need. You would have the access to be able to go before the throne of grace. God said that we can come there boldly. And I don't mean we come in and go, yo, God. Not that kind of bogus. You might get slapped up. Get up out of here. But we come there boldly being this, knowing that we belong there. This is a spot that my Heavenly Father has given me an invitation to be here. And so I'm coming in this piece. All right? Let's give God a hand clap. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I know that God already has spoken to some of you. But there are some that's really important. We're all really important to God. But there are some. When I spoke about the gates of hell being open, that ain't no lie. And I'm going to tell you, the only way that we can prevent ourselves from being swallowed up into these gates of hell is by surrendering our life to Jesus Christ, who died for us. And I'm going to tell you something. It's nothing like making a declaration and standing boldly before this enemy who's out to take your life. He's out to kill, steal, and to destroy everything about you, everything around you. That is his only purpose. You look at the Bible and you see it says it clearly. His purpose. His purpose. You have a purpose. Christ has a purpose. The devil has a purpose. And his purpose is to kill you. And that's the ugliest way to describe it. That word is to kill you spiritually. And in doing that, he'll do it physically also. So here's what we're going to do. Let's everybody stand to our feet. I want to make an invitation tonight. And the invitation is simply this. If you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you've been that one that God wants to use, and you're tired of the battle, I want to ask you to come out. We're going to pray. I believe that God is going to replenish, refresh. He's going to give you a fresh vision. And God is going to send you back out. He's going to send you back out, and he's going to use you for your glory. There are many in here that know that tonight. That call is for you. Secondly, that person, that young man, that young sister who doesn't belong to God. Tonight is your night. Don't think that you ended up here by mistake. God strategically brought you here tonight so that you might hear. And so that he might save you. So that he might change your life and make you that man or woman of God that he intends you to be. The Bible says that God has a plan for good for you and not for evil. And he wants to give you an expected end. So I want to also ask that person tonight that if you would step out, forget the person standing beside you tonight. Just for tonight. Just forget them and just tell them, I'm sorry. I need the plans of God for my life. Amen. As the worship team begins to come back and worship, I want you to step out. And don't let the enemy tell you, nah, not this time. Don't do it now. Everybody's looking. No, that's how you put your foot on his neck. You step out right now. You step out boldly, knowing that you belong here. Amen? Amen. I love the Lord simply because, you know, days like this, nights like this, he gets to show me his heart for you, which I know that's his heart for me. And I love God. You know, each person that's here tonight, you are so precious to God. So precious. And as I was standing over there, it was just a verse of scripture that God gave me. And it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. God has given us the ability to make wise decisions. We have power because we are in him. And we're full of love because he loved us. And so, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. How many that are here, like this is your first time wanting to give your life to the Lord, to receive Jesus for the first time into your life? By a show of hands, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, although that was the only hands, God will stop the whole show for one. Give God the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God.
Hallelujah. Young brother, just want to say congratulations. This is the most important decision that you will ever make. But what I want you to do to seal this is I'm going to pray, but I want you to repeat after me, because your voice is important to God. Okay. You always remember that, okay?
Yes.
All right. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much. For this night. Tonight is the first night of the rest of my brother's life. God, I'm asking that you would seal this work by your Holy Spirit. Teach me.
Teach me to pray.
Teach me to live for you.
Teach me to live for you.
I believe that I am a sinner. But I also believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I believe because I'm asking you for forgiveness. That you are faithful and just to forgive me of all my wrongdoings and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I do thank you for making me whole. And now I ask that you would come into my life. And that you would be the ruler. That you would be the king. And the Lord. Of my life. I renounce everything. That is unlike you. And I take on. Jesus Christ. As my Lord and Savior. And so I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap. Glory to God. Yes, sir. That's how you know. Congratulations. I'm going to tell you something real quick. You got to get yourself plugged in to a church. You're welcome to come here, but if you don't live in the area, we can help you out to find you another church, but you got to get plugged in. It's going to be the most important thing that you do. Okay, young brother?
I feel I'm already plugged in.
Bless the Lord. You are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. But listen, it ain't over yet. Party's still going on because I wanna pray for you. But here's what I want you to do. As I pray, whatever that thing is, whatever that area is, whatever the struggle is, whatever the fear is, I want you now to give it to God. But I want you to believe that God is taking that thing, he's throwing it away. Amen? So I want you to lift up your voice as I lift up mine, because it's important. God needs to hear your voice. Each of you, your voice is important. God needs to hear your voice. Hallelujah, Father. God, thank you so much, God. God, for my young brothers and sisters. God, I do thank you tonight, God, that you are full of mercy and full of grace. God, you've given each of us, God, the invitation to come before your throne of grace. God, with boldness tonight we come. And God, now I ask you, God, that even as we find ourselves here, and God, that you would meet with us, that you would forgive us of our sins. God, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, and that you would remember it no more. God, as far as the east is from the west, Lord God, cast these things away. God, now I pray, God, that you would infuse my young brothers and sisters with faith. God, that you would give them the ability to stand, and having done all, God, just to stand. God, I pray that you would remind them, God, over and over and over and over again, that you have clothed them with the full armor of God. God, now I pray that you would give them vision. God, that you would give them fight. God, that you would remind them that we are in a war, but that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, God, but they're mighty. Mighty through you, God. Mighty through you, God. In casting down strongholds, God, and even imaginations. God, in everything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, we ask that you would bring it into the obedience of Christ in Jesus' name. And God, I pray, God, that you would cause the word that was spoken to each individual, God, that you would cause it to bring forth fruit in their life that would last. God, give us focus. Give us vision. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your word. And God, I pray that most of all, God, that you would give us that time, God, that quiet time. Yes, God. Yes, God. Give us a quiet time, God. God, whether it's on the train, on the bus, God, in our homes, on the street, God, wherever it is, God, I pray that we would have that communion with you, God. That we would get direction from you, God. God, we would get wisdom from you, God. Courage from you, God. God, we would hear that still small voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. God, we're asking that you would give it to us, God. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, God. God, unite your people, God. Make us one, God. God, we want to be one, God. We want to move with one heart and one mind, God. We want to move as a unit, God. We want to be a team, God. Help us, Lord. God, and remind us of one another, God. God, as you bring faces up, God. God, cause us to remember to pray for one another, God. To undergird each other, God. To be our brother's keeper, Lord Jesus. And Father, we do thank you again, God, for this night, God. Thank you for this night that you've met with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Scott, how many is the first time you've ever responded to the front of this church before? It's your first time here. Raise your hand real high so we can see it. Praise God. Awesome. Welcome. So glad to have you here with us. And we've got some of our prayer partners, trained staff that are here, and they're going to minister to those of you who raised your hand. So please don't leave but without allowing them to minister to you and talk to you before you go. As Brother Derek shared, it's important that if you really mean business with God and you're serious about walking with him, that you get involved in a local church, a young people's group, where you can begin to grow and learn what it means to walk with God for yourself. It's not enough for the pastor to know and hear God's voice. God wants you to hear his voice and to know his voice. And so, yes, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So please don't leave without allowing some of our prayer partners to minister to you and talk with you before you go. But thank God for what he's doing tonight. Amen. Thank you, Brother Derek, for sharing your heart with us. And you know, the Lord loves us so much. He knows exactly what we need to hear at what point in time. He just knows. He knows, folks. He knows everything about you. The Bible says he's taken the time to even count every, imagine this, he's taken the time to count every hair on your head. God, the creator of the universe, is taking the time to count every hair on your head. That's how much He's involved in your life. That's how much he's acquainted with you and all the drama and all the stuff that you've got, you know, in your life. He knows it all. Praise God for his love. Amen. Amen. We have to rejoice in what the Lord has done, and we're going to rejoice tonight. Folks, we're done very, 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 very early tonight so we can stay and enjoy his presence. Those of you for the first time, please stay here in the front. The rest, you can go back to your seats, or you can stay here if you want to pray. And but we need to rejoice in the presence of the Lord and what he's done. Amen.